You are listening to the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Smart Gilas Pilipinas podcast, episode number 41. Let's call this the Dirk Nowitzki. I think it's pretty obvious. Number 41, you'll always think of Dirk Nowitzki, but wait, where are my manners? I forgot to introduce myself and my co-hosts. Stancy at your service. Raf Kamis to my right. Right across me, Ro Moran.
This is not the first time you've forgotten to introduce everyone.
Bro, well, at least he knows our names.
Oh, it's called getting carried away. I'm excited. And there's a reason to
like,
get excited
like
about
Brock
this.
Brock Lesnar. I've conquered him, and I conquered him.
What a fucker. But yeah, you know, we're excited about this episode because we've got probably our biggest guest yet on the SGP podcast. We've got Quark Hinatus. He'll be stopping by in just a bit. It'll be a lot of fun talking to him about PWR, about wrestling in general. I hear he's also taught at the Araneo.
Please, papi. Please.
Well, how do we say it?
Don't insult the school.
No, I'm not insulting it.
Nee, yung pagkakonya, just Ateneo. He's taught at Ateneo.
Okay, fine.
Not the Ateneo.
Does it have to be the?
Oh, okay. So you know,
Mr. Journalist.
I don't know what the protocol.
Mr. Journalist.
Neither do I.
Hindi ko alam, papi.
Neither do I.
You can call it the Ateneo. You can call it Ateneo.
I didn't know this.
But let me give you.
It doesn't have to be the all the
time.
Hindi ko
alam to, papi. UP kami ni sir.
Yeah, we don't know this shit. But let me give you some respect.
But you're a broadcast journalist.
Yeah,
you're a broadcast journalist.
I have never had to write about the Ateneo.
Yeah, neither have I.
You don't have to call it the.
I don't know. That's what people call it.
But let me show you some respect.
This is a horrible start to the show.
No. Let me show you some respect for being one of the rare Ateneans who actually insists.
Yeah. I have to agree with
on
that.
Dropping the article.
You don't need the article. It's not a thing. You don't need to use the article the.
Oh nga, papi. Hindi namin alam yun. Kasi lahat ng Atenisang nakakausap namin, puro the Ateneo yung sinasabi.
Yeah, Ro came from Zabel. You and I came from Xavier. All these fucklers that came from the same schools are so conyo as fuck.
I don't want to use this.
Oh, but you will.
You will.
You will.
It's a whole lot of fun. It's a lot of fun,
It's
brother.
Not that I want to use the Ateneo. It's just that I thought that
Okay. Let's get back to the point. Quark Hinatus. It's from the Ateneo.
Okay,
all right.
Okay.
And it's cool. He's a professor.
It is cool. He's also involved in music, also involved in films. We'll talk all about his projects, especially English Only Please, which apparently Ro and I both got to catch. Not together, though.
Oh, that's...
Let's make that perfectly clear.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Oh, no, papi's done and ready.
Straight guys can watch movies together.
Hey, that's true. But if you want to ask why we watched English Only Please, don't ask.
But it was nice though. You should go see it if you get a chance to see it.
Actually, that's true. Actually, wala pa si Quark ngayon kasi traffic sa EDSA, papi.
Yeah. Traffic sa EDSA, be.
But yeah, it's going to be a fun show, of course, as we celebrate episode number 41. We're going to be talking about Spots and Botches. We're bringing that back as well this week. We're also going to be bringing back breaking kayfabe news. And we're going to be talking about the week in wrestling in general. Now, something that just happened today. We're recording this, by the way, January 15, 2015, right here at the Mellow 94.7 Studios in Mandaluyong. The game WWE Immortals came out today. And it came out on the iTunes store. So only... smartphone
only
users
Apple.
That have Apple
only
products,
Apple
basically.
Product people can have it.
For right.
Baka naman bukas pa.
Android, yung reported daw is Android, it's coming out tomorrow. So
yun.
By the time you're listening to this,
meron
it should
na.
Be out.
Meron na kami.
I actually have a copy of the game right now. I've downloaded my copy. It's basically what Injustice was. So if you're familiar with the mobile version of Injustice, as in the DC Comics superhero game that pretty much simulates Tekken and Street Fighter for superheroes, it's pretty much the same in WWE. Now,
but is it as fun?
Is it as
because
fun?
Because I know you've played Injustice for a while.
Right. I played Injustice for like over a year.
Okay.
Right? So I was pretty fucking addicted to Injustice.
Yeah, me too. I was addicted to Injustice and then, you know, after a while, nasasawa ka rin eh.
And work happens, man.
Hmm?
At some point, you have to fucking work.
Mm-mm.
True.
So, true. You know, Immortal is not something I'm probably going to get addicted to just because I've had my Injustice phase. Pero it's fun to see when the superstars have reached yung maximum adrenaline nila and they can perform
what
their signature maneuvers.
What the fuck is maximum adrenaline?
All right. So if you're not familiar with Injustice...
Do you familiar with Injustice?
Okay, all right.
And for the benefit of those who haven't also.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So
sure,
for those
sure.
of you
Go
who
ahead.
Don't
Go
know,
ahead.
You should know, as our friend Brian Leo would say.
That's 2 weeks in a row you're using his gimmick.
Hey, right. Brian Leo is a first world guy. That's not gimmick infringement. I mean, my gimmick is gimmick infringement. That's basically my gimmick. I
and
take
he,
from
and he
everybody.
He can't do anything about it because he's the boss and he likes to watch.
Yeah, pretty much. At least that one's original. That's got gravitas. I'm watching.
Ulul, yeah.
Yeah, it
has
is.
No gravitas.
Has fucking no gravitas. Fucking boss is watching. You better make sure you do this shit right.
Do you know what gravitas? Is that your big word of the week? 5 minutes into the show, you're using your big word of the week?
I use gravitas all the time.
So do I. Sorry.
Okay, whatever.
Jeez. Anyway, so Injustice and Immortals pretty much operate the same way. Your characters have to build up adrenaline, which gives them your first two moves. And the first two moves are kind of like your signatures.
Yep.
Okay. And then the third one is like your finisher. So when you reach maximum adrenaline, you've got your third bar. So it'll consume all three of your energy bars.
So it's like in Street Fighter, like you have the...
Your special bar, papi.
Your special
yes,
bar.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Okay. That's what it is. Okay. So pag na-reach mo yung maximum adrenaline, your wrestler actually does one of his signature moves as a wrestler and follows it up with his finishing move.
So combo.
It's a combo, basically. Nice. So, naka-animation siya. So, I tried it with Sheamus. And what he did was he did the Irish curse first. And then he lifted up his opponent, slammed him down to the ground, and then he ran in for the broke kick.
Okay.
So, yun na yun. Tapos, yun na, maximum damage na.
Oh, by the way, did you guys play Supercard?
No, I've played
Supercard. I've played Supercard. It's fun for like the first
day. Yeah, it's addictive for like the first day. But that's how mobile games are. They're fun, but they get repetitive, so... You get tired.
That's why you buy
quickly.
A 3DS and exactly, play Pokemon.
Exactly. I'm actually afraid that this will be what might happen for me when I get my hands on Immortals. Na,
ito pa yung ano.
I'm sure.
Right. Another thing, probably that you might wanna be aware of is when you start off, you have a starter pack.
Uh-oh.
And if you've played Injustice, your starter pack actually varies. So you have to choose between like five bronze characters, and at random, the system will give you three. So, well, from my experience and from our buddy Owell's experience as well, we got the exact same starter pack.
Baka naman yun talaga yung starters.
Baka. Which is even worse kasi yun lang talaga yung starters mo. You don't have any choice, diba? So you got Kane, you got Sheamus, and Trish Stratus, and then right after you complete training mode, you get Paige as well. So, you know, Owell and I are huge Paige marks, so it's nice that we have Paige. But I would have hoped to start with Daniel Bryan. Because Daniel Bryan is one of the starting characters available. Okay. He has a bronze version, and then he also has a silver card. So yung ranks niya, bronze yung mga easily accessible and attainable.
Yung no movement ba? And yung no, was that the silver one?
Yes, that was the silver one.
Gold niya?
Wala siyang gold.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God damn it.
So gold,
damn it, Hunter.
So yung gold lang is Hunter. There's, I think, Undertaker, Super Cena, and that's it.
Damn it, Hunter, holding
I think.
On. Holding so down the...
Okay, so...
Holding down the
talent.
So we've seen... we have some screenshots on the SGP group for... Chain Gang Cena?
Soldier.
Soldier.
Yeah, Soldier John Cena is actually in silver.
Oh, okay.
And then Super Cena or Evolved John Cena is yung, ano, yung gold.
Nag-level up?
Fucking Super Cena.
Fucking.
Yeah, so that's
At
pretty
least
much
actually
it.
Actually acknowledged it, no?
Actually, yeah. And it was so literal. I mean, The Rock is literally bato. And then Kane looks...
bato siya.
Bato siya.
Right? Hindi man chiseled.
No. Well, he's got like a chiseled... He's got like a chiseled junk. Which is kind of weird.
Chiseled junk?
Para siyang fanny pack na, ano. Para siyang fanny pack na pinatigas.
No, because like I've seen one picture that it looked a little weird, but then this one's
no,
like...
No, brother. It was very, very weird.
Okay, so that's
Big Show is yeah. Big Show is a literal giant. I'm actually loading up the store right now. Your gold characters are yeah. No, actually, no. Bryan is gold.
Yo.
Lumberjack Big Show is gold. Angelic Knight Trish is gold. Necromancer Taker Super
why
Cena.
Why is Lumberjack Big Show gold?
I don't know.
Not the giant
why,
Big Show.
I don't
why
know.
Is
Hound of Justice Roman is gold, and so is King of Kings Triple H.
Any Hound of Justice Roman?
Patingin.
He looks like a Roman soldier.
Yung sa advertisements.
Yeah, I think that's the one that you see on the ads.
It's not so bad. Like, okay, the thing is,
I like the concept.
The concept's good. It's cool and all, but how does it stack up gameplay wise?
Gameplay wise, I think it can do better with the lighting. Like, I guess compared to the relative to the background, your foreground needs
can
a little bit more brightness. Yeah, go ahead.
Alright, I'm trying it right now. Loading up.
Yeah, so
a few moments later.
Here we are.
Alright. I'm Kane. I'm fighting Daniel Bryan, the Yes Movement version of him. And yeah, it does kind of look like Injustice, no?
Yeah, it does. Very much so.
Same things.
Yes.
Same interface.
Yeah, same interface. The bigger the swipe when you swipe is the
heavy moves.
Attack.
Right. And then if you hold down two fingers and you block, so it's pretty much the same game.
Kane is a bit slow here.
Obviously, because he's the demon.
And now
Kane.
I have tagged in Celtic Druid Sheamus, which Stan thought was a Viking.
Well, it kinda looked like a Viking with the antlers and shit.
So Irish curse.
So King Cuerno yung dating.
Actually, yeah.
And the Irish curse finisher signature pala requires like the fast tap, like the flashes and a the flash in, diba?
Yeah.
Come on, no, don't fast forward this.
1 eternity later.
Right, so that's pretty much the game. It's if you played Injustice, it's pretty much that.
Okay. That sounds fun. We'll try it out for ourselves. You guys should try it out too. Available on the Apple App Store.
Yeah, it's called the iTunes Store,
iTunes Store.
And the Google Play Store.
And the Google Play Store very soon. Tomorrow.
You know, we'd love to say there's a promo code in the SGP or SGP podcast, but there really isn't. So,
That's,
you're welcome, WDB.
That's Immortals. You guys should, try it out. I mean, we've been reviewing.
This is a lot of fun, yo.
Really?
Yeah, it is.
Well, pass it over here.
Okay.
Let me try.
Sige, papi. Go na.
All right, in just a bit, we're going to be doing our SNB list, or the spots and botches list. If this is new to you, it's basically a recap of the week in wrestling, the best and the worst. We call them out. We've also got our interview with Quark Canadas. That's coming up in just a bit as well. And we're bringing back breaking kayfabe news still to come in episode 41 of the SGP podcast. Let's get down to business with our first topic. First order of business here in the SGP podcast. Let's recap this past week and give you the things we liked and didn't like about wrestling this week. We call this list
Spots and Botches!
Let's start off with the architect, Mr. Money in the Bank, Seth Rollins, and his backstage gimmickry, his antics, and everything he's been doing with J&J Security. I think it deserves a spot on this week's list.
I'd like to say yes, and I will say yes, because, Seth Rollins has evolved as a character ever since leaving the Shield, but this week, he ups it. He ups it, son.
I don't know. Our friend, our good friend and corny friend, Joe the Grappler Marsalis, has written about Seth Rollins in his...
Rollins in the deep.
Rollins in the deep, really.
Goddamn, son.
I mean, really? Grappler allows his shit, so fine, whatever. Really?
Well, it's catchy, though, in a way.
In a way.
Again, he says, that, and which we agree with, strangely, that Rollins has to be the best heel in the game right now.
Yeah. Admittedly, he is the best.
I mean, after the shit he pulled on Edge and Christian, he's got to be the best heel in the game.
And I really
do
agree, because I mentioned a theory that I had last week, which I didn't really get into, but the things he's been doing, the way he's been talking, the way he's been working, I guess, kind of makes you want to hate him for real. Diba?
Like, not just cheap heat, real heat.
And not just the kind of heat na, okay, we're playing along because this guy is a really good heel and he's just really doing his job well.
Yeah.
Parang, it's almost getting to that territory na it's really, really...
It's still
unlikable.
It's
way.
Mama Panzer heat.
Oh, Mama Panzer heat, yun.
So what does that mean?
Finally, we have here a heel who knows how to get himself hated. Hindi lang na heel na pahul. That was Dolph Ziggler's problem. That's why he turned face. That's why people were cheering for him, because he was showing off and in the process being good at his job, really, really good. And in that, and as a result, nobody wanted to boo him. And that's not what a villain is supposed to be,
right?
A villain supposed to be dastardly.
Oh, kaya yan tuloy, naging face siya. Kasi everyone wanted to see him do his thing.
Yeah, so I guess what we've always wanted to see is a real heel. Like a real villain in every sense of the word. I mean, we get that from Triple H, we get that from Steph, but I guess among the active wrestlers, among the workers, somebody really had to step up their heel game. And this guy is Seth Rollins.
And that's he's reaching for that brass ring.
Yun. And that's not to say that Rollins isn't someone we don't want to see. We actually do want to see more of his work. But I can see that he tries so hard, or I don't know, someone advising him backstage or writing his stuff is trying so hard to get him to be really unlikable.
Maybe it's Joey. Well,
I don't know. Maybe it's him then. I think he's smart enough to know.
Okay, if you've seen his Tyler Black character, that's really bad. Like, really bad guy. Really bad guy on that level. But
for those who don't know, is it like Seth Rollins now?
It's not exactly Seth Rollins now. Like, this Seth Rollins is really despicable.
Like, who's more despicable, Tyler Black or Seth Rollins?
Seth Rollins.
As the
Tyler Black didn't try to kill somebody.
As the authorities, I know. As the authorities, lapdog. Seth Rollins just takes the cake.
All right. Now, moving on to our next item on the list, let's stick with Seth Rollins and his former Shield brethren, Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns. They actually had, as what Camus would like to call, a mini reunion of sorts back on SmackDown last week. They had a tag team match featuring Seth and The Big Show going up against Dean and Roman.
Solid match. Solid match, but it's not the reason it's a spot here.
Okay.
The reason I give it a spot is because, well, we want to see that dream match, the triple threat dream match for the title between the Shield brethren. And it just, right now, it sort of plants the possibility because Dean came out for Roman and when he was doing his thing with Seth during that horrible promo, I'm sorry.
Which
horrible,
one?
Horrible. That was the first, the Suffering Succotash
Son. Oh, the
Son
Suffering Succotash Son. We should play
promo.
That. For those that haven't heard it.
Insert clip now.
You are a sniveling little suck-up sellout full of suffering succotash, son. Yeah, I know. That was not easy to say.
So that's the state of Roman Reigns right now. He's pulling promos like this. But the thing is, I want the reunion to happen organically, and I want to see it like this, but I want it to be for the title.
You know, I think see Roman, he's kind of like scumbag Cena.
Yes.
Dean Ambrose comes out to save Roman. Roman's never come out to save Dean.
At all.
Ever.
Only after the fact. After
after
Dean got curb stomped into the hollow blocks.
Right. That was one time that Roman actually came out to save Dean. Now, going back, this is a triple threat. And, you know, a lot of people have been calling this a dream match, a dream scenario at Mania. Personally, I think it's a dream match of mine as well to see them going at it against each other. But I don't want it to be for the championship.
Why?
The reason for that being... I want Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar to be facing off for the championship.
For sure.
No,
I've always wanted the triple threat match, but I never thought it would be a WrestleMania 31 match. At least 32 for me.
But the way things are going now.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's the thing. It's progressing. Like, the way it feels is that the natural progression will be towards
No, I don't think there's enough time to bring both of them, both Roman and Dean, up to Seth's level. So I think after Monday night, and we'll get to this later, or have we already talked about it with the last item on the list?
No, we can bring it up right now.
We can bring it up.
After the last segment of this Monday's Raw, I believe that Seth was ready for the championship.
I think he is too.
Yeah.
It's just
after that segment,
and that's okay. Like, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean the other two guys are.
Yeah, that's why
Seth
has to be brought
closer.
Down.
Seth is up there and
let me finish. Seth has to just be brought down para ma-match na Dean and Roman so they can have that triple threat. That's what I'm trying to say.
If
it's meant to happen. No, that's why I would rather it not be for the championship. Like,
okay.
Don't make Seth your champion. Have Bryan and Lesnar fight it out because yun pa rin dream match ko. And like in my little world,
why can't we just
yun yung mangyayari
in your fantasy booking world?
Yeah, yeah, I guess
we can
so.
Just we can just hold off on the match for this year and just save it for next year when there's enough time to build up the two guys.
Or you could have them be like Generico and Steen who go at it over and over again, or The Rock and Austin.
No, it's not gonna go over well, especially with so many hours of WWE programming.
I think Roman, of all people, is not ready for that kind of a feud. Look at his promos. And one of our botches on today's list is actually his Beanstalk promo this past Raw. I think that's illustration enough to say that he's not ready.
Oh, by the way, we haven't discussed it yet, but rumors say that the person behind Roman Reigns' awful promo, Suffer Succotash, son.
And Jack and the Beanstalk.
I was saying before I was rudely interrupted that the person behind it is none other than Mr. Vinnie Mac himself.
And that's a problem, son.
Yeah.
You want to call somebody out of touch? Here's your evidence,
if
son.
If you still don't believe. Okay, it's a rumor, but I'm not surprised anymore.
It feels like it's right, eh.
Oh, papi, parang... It can't be anyone else.
That's just sad.
It's holding him down.
It's such a sad situation. And it's getting more and more absurd, boys.
I didn't even want to dignify that.
No.
Come on.
Okay.
How about no?
No, you were going with an 80s reference with fucking with Jack and the Beanstalk and like suffering succotash.
How is Jack and the Beanstalk 80s?
Not necessarily 80s, but the cartoonishness of it was very 80s.
Okay, yes.
Because Vince McMahon has always, for some reason, is kind of relying on what got him through the success of the WWF in the 80s, and he's trying to make that appropriate in 2015. I don't get how that makes sense business-wise.
That's just because it's fucking PG.
Because he's out of touch.
He's out of touch. It's not the millennials' fault.
And it's not PG's fault. It really isn't. He doesn't know how to write anymore. He doesn't know how to.
He doesn't need to. That's why he hired people to write.
No. Well, not just that. He doesn't know what works anymore. He thinks that what worked for him, you know, back in the early 90s, back in the late 80s with Hogan, is still working now.
Well, you know, somebody's trying. And they're either succeeding or failing very, very badly. No, I guess it's a hit and miss thing, and I think this is my segue into the next.
No, wait. Before we go into the next thing, speaking of the Jack and the Beanstalk promo, it was bad material for sure. But he tried.
He tries his damn best.
So he tried to inject some dynamism into it. He made it a bit dynamic. He tried to, tried to deliver it a different way. He tried to change up his delivery. It's not the best, but I can see the effort he's been putting in. I give Roman Reigns a lot of shit on this show.
But we all do.
Yeah, we all do. Everyone does.
We give him shit on the groups,
on the internet, or whatever. But I cannot shit on him too much when he's trying to actively challenge himself and change up his style.
Sure, you know, I'm glad that this podcast is actually just in audio form, because if it were in video, we'd probably insert that picture, that meme of Bart Simpson with the cake that says, "At least you tried." So we probably have that, but we don't. So let's get to our next item on the list, which is a bit of a hit and miss if you ask us. It's the Dean Ambrose psychological segments from this past
Raw. I liked it.
I found them funny.
I liked it.
And I like how they kind of displayed Dean Ambrose's comedic side, right? Para lumalabas yung personality niya as a borderline comedic character.
This is where I like him, eh. Na parang medyo late DX type.
Right.
Late DX na parang, oh, we're really, really, really funny, but at the same time, we're psychotic.
I thought it was a whole pointless set of segments.
Why?
Honestly. It was funny, yes, it was funny, especially by the end.
Brother.
Ho! But it was pointless to me because it built up to nothing, unless it built up to another Dean Ambrose versus the Authority angle.
Which might happen.
But it hasn't happened yet. But I didn't think it was going there.
If it does, will you retroactively
spot? No. No.
Okay.
It didn't feel like it was heading somewhere.
But if it does?
Still no.
Okay.
And that's only because of the Rusev
thing. You take it on itself, by itself, it doesn't feel like it was heading anywhere.
True.
Even if it so happened that next week, oh, it finally happens that it's Dean versus Steph.
Yeah.
But I didn't see that coming from what happened this week.
Sure. I don't know. Sa akin lang is parang, I guess it's a hit because it was funny, it was entertaining, and it was a miss.
I'm not denying that.
It was a miss kasi those segments barely led to the Rusev match.
True.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he gets, well,
ayun, sa payun.
That referee stoppage. He
gets TKO'd.
Hate it.
But it was good for Rusev because he showed him as a smart guy, a smart competitor.
But for Ambrose, parang, I don't know. I don't think he came off looking strong, even though the intention is probably otherwise.
True.
So there, I think that's the problem with that.
By the way, before we move on either way, I read this. I read Brandon Stroud's Raw review, the best and worst of Raw, and he mentions a good. He has a good observation regarding the Dean Ambrose segments and the Roman Reigns promo.
Sure. Okay.
He differentiates the two workers on the mic by saying that Roman Reigns has been given shit, but he couldn't really save it with his mic work. Meanwhile, okay. Dean Ambrose is given shit, but he makes it funny. Because he can make it funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're both shit. That's the difference between the two. And sayang lang. Because as much as you want to see Roman Reigns succeed, you just can't help booing the guy because he isn't that good.
You know, thankfully, Roman Reigns is actually doing well as a wrestler right now. He's actually improved in the sense... as of last week's Raw, if you actually caught his match with Luke Harper.
Pretty good match. Pretty good match.
Yeah, finally. Thank you for bringing that up. Yes, it was a decent Roman Reigns match. For those who watch closely, you might notice that he's actually been trying hard to get better in the ring. And I noticed that he works better when he's on the defensive.
Yes.
When he's getting pounded down and beat down by the heel opponent.
When he doesn't look like he's about to have a squash match.
It's like a Hulk Hogan match. It's mostly...
Or a Cena match.
No.
No, Cena can dominate on offense. Yeah. That's the thing. Cena can still make it work on offense when he's the one taking charge. But Reigns has a problem with calling the match, being on the dominant offense. It's like a Hogan match. He's getting beat down. He hulks up. That's the exciting part.
Yeah.
He makes his comeback. Uh-huh. It's kind of like the same thing here. It's not the best wrestling, but it's somewhere. It's starting somewhere. And that's pretty much a lot Roman needs right now.
Right, and that's pretty much why the Roman Reigns versus Luke Harper match is actually a spot on this week's list. So at least, kahit paano, Roman Reigns kind of redeemed himself.
50-50 week for him.
Mm. Yeah. All right, let's get to our next item on the list. Next item on the list on this week's Spots and Botches. Let's talk about JBL again, because JBL...
Fucking JBL! John Bradshaw Layfield, you have a job for life, and you pull this shit.
You know what? I heard him on Jericho's podcast.
Okay.
Last week, and he was just saying that he was just trying to do his best. But
I don't know. I don't buy it. I mean, we see his work, and in other matches where there's a clear heel and a clear face, JBL goes out to bat for the heel. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why can't he do that for the Ascension? And when you're the bad guy commentator, it's your job to put over the bad guys.
And this
it's
is
your
2 weeks
to legitimize
running.
Legitimize them.
This is 2 weeks running. If this goes nowhere, if this is not going anywhere, I'm going to be really upset and complain about it on the internet.
Hey.
But that's the thing. That's the thing. JBL has a clearly defined character.
Sure.
He's got clearly defined motivations.
Yeah. Before.
Now he doesn't.
Before. That's what I was going to say. Before. But now it's just confusing. Because he's supposed to be the bad guy commentator. He's supposed to put over the bad guys. And then look at him now. What the fuck?
JBL is the epitome of meh meh. You'd think Booker is that guy. But no, Booker is trying to do his job.
Yeah, and I think it's because sanay na tayo sa image of Booker T from when he did that SmackDown gig back in 2012.
That was him trying to figure out his way of how to be a caller commentator. Pero...
And I guess after several years of doing the pre-show panels, he's kind of learned. He's kind of picked something up. Because, I don't know.
And he's
this
better.
Is my,
he's
yeah, this
better.
Is my point of view as well. And he's actually improved as a commentator. He may not be the best guy at his job right now, but he's doing leagues better than JBL is right now.
And he's entertaining.
By the way, I'm calling. But despite Booker's improvement, I'm calling out the entire announce team in that Ascension segment. JBL was trashing the heels. Booker T, the face commentator, was trying to save the heels. And what does that make them now?
Ambiguous.
Is the Ascension now faces because the evil, mean caller commentator is trashing them and making us feel sorry for them? Or are they heels because they're saying that they're better than LOD and Demolition? So I don't know. Do you have an answer for that?
No, I don't have an answer for that.
They're not tweeners. That's the thing. They move. They move and they squash like heels. They're put over like faces.
Not even put over.
Yeah, they're not put over, period.
Okay, they're discussed on commentary as...
No, Booker T has been the neutral one, the moderate one.
See, Cole parang wala din eh.
Cole's out of it. Cole's fucking out of
Cole
it.
Cole has no balls anyway.
Yeah, he's a fucking non-entity, and it's kind of weird because the way I see it is Cole is kind of like symptomatic of us. Na parang, what do we make of this shit?
So, but like, the thing is, Cole doesn't even say anything. That's the thing.
JR would have stood up for anyone, for them.
But he would have done his job.
He would have said something. Yeah, speaking of, another botch for this segment is that officially the Ascension's gimmick is now we are better than those who came before us.
Which is weird because their attires are clearly influenced by those who came before
them. But that's the gimmick now. So we look like them, but we're better. And that's our gimmick. That's what we're selling.
And that's not a gimmick.
At all.
It's not.
And it's a far cry from the Ascension gimmick from NXT, where they were just legit tough badasses who would beat everyone up.
And this is the second week that, you know, we're discussing the Ascension in the same vein. And it just feels like 2 weeks in, 2 weeks into it, and we're already losing hope.
This is unacceptable, actually. Straight
for
up
the,
unacceptable.
For one of the best tag teams to come, come out of NXT.
No, not even.
Fine, name the best NXT tag team. What, The New Day?
Not no.
Who? What? Who's the best? NXT
wait.
Tag
that's
team?
Our argument. The best.
No.
Tag
I'm just saying that they're the best tag team to come out of NXT.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, I would get behind that.
Only because there's no other.
Yes, there's no other yet because NXT is a young brand. But can you get behind that?
Fine.
Okay. Best thing that developmentals put out in one division, and you're gonna shit on them like that.
That's true.
That's sad.
You shouldn't even shit on you guys at all.
Yeah.
Period. They are what you know is helping you make money in the first place,
and they're gonna be the future. You're gonna be banking on these guys, so you can't afford to mess them up. Sa habang pasimula pa lang sila.
Okay, right. So I think we've
closed book.
Yeah,
we've closed ranted too much about it. We actually devoted so much airtime to something so small. Actually, it's not small. It's not small.
It's a
huge
major,
deal.
It's a major.
It's a glaring issue. Yeah,
but it's a very big deal.
So let's talk about something positive about developmental, about NXT. Let's talk about Sami Zayn, that
Zayniac
promo. Yeah, I know. We know by now. It's been very well established that you are a fucking Zayniac.
What instrument do you play on the Zayniacs?
I'm the drummer. I'm the drummer.
You're not the producer.
What, you beat your own drum?
Oh. You beat Sami Zayn's drum?
Amana.
No, but for what it's worth, yo, that Zayniac's promo is kind of nice. It shows how far Sami Zayn has come ever since he started. Like,
it's corny as fuck, but I loved it.
Yeah, he mentioned that himself, that it was pretty cliche.
But it's so much fun, and I love him.
And you can see
apparently
that
he's a Barry Manilow fan.
What? Remember?
He said that they write the songs that make the whole world sing. Good morning, sa promo niya.
I barely remembered because I watched this week's episode of NXT.
Fair enough.
But you know, you can see Sami Zayn is, you know, on his way to being or to following the footsteps of number one babyfaces. You could see that he's following that little mold right now.
And you know what? The good thing about Sami Zayn is that the thing that makes him the best written babyface at the moment is that he is not being written at all to do any douchey things.
He's relatable.
Oh, not just relatable, but he is literally what kids should be following or what people should be following.
Saying the word fuck a lot, though.
No, because like, you take a look at John Cena. You take a look at Cena, who's supposed to be your top babyface, and he doesn't save his friends.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly. That's the biggest argument
the
that we can have
one,
for that.
The number one, the supposed number one face on the show is a huge scumbag.
The number one face threatens to win the championship, then take his ball and go home.
Which is a huge contradiction to what he said before to the guys like Brock and Rock.
So it's annoying just to see somebody like John Cena be your number one good guy, and then he's written that way, diba? So it is refreshing to see Sami Zayn in that role.
Wait. While we're talking about Cena, can we give a botch to hashtag authority sucks?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, sure.
Horrible hashtag.
That is your big plan. Hashtag authority sucks.
Authority.
Niman lang hashtag bring back Team Cena.
Di man lang hashtag, hey, Dolph.
Di man lang hashtag, Katnia. Di man lang hashtag, G2B, whatever.
Tanginang yan.
Fuck that shit, man. Sorry, I watched G2B for a while.
Good God. I'm judging you.
No,
the hashtags on that show
are hilarious.
I'm sorry. It's borderline raw hilarious.
ABS is like the king of unintentionally hilarious, unironically hilarious hashtags.
It's just sad, man.
I had to go see it because sometimes we would
work
late.
Oh, fuck that shit.
No, we would work late and it was on TV.
Oh, all right. Tabuway.
Oh, sabi ko.
I can't ever watch that because it comes on during my show, but whatever, man.
Catherine Bernard is hot. Let's move on.
That's a child.
She's not a child. She's
anymore.
19.
She's 19.
But
not that I'm defending your pedophilia. She's 19.
It's not pedophilia.
Still too young for you, bro.
Di ba yung kay Barney Stinson daw is your age divided by 2 plus 7. No. Yun yung acceptable
age. My
age. You're 24.
Divided by 2.
It's 12.
Plus 7.
Oh, sakto lang.
Fuck you.
Parang yung buko pa eh. Sakto lang.
Motherfucker.
All right, let's talk about going crazy on NXT. Marcus Louis, the Frenchman.
Oh, by the way, Julia Montes is better than Catherine Bernardo.
Is that a legit hashtag?
No, no, not a hashtag.
No, but I bet you somebody hashtagged that.
Yeah, probably. I like her better.
Fucking assholes on Twitter. Let's talk about Marcus Louis, the Frenchman, formerly part of the Legionnaires with Sebastian Lefort. He's now...
Sebastian?
Sylvester Lefort. Thank you. Sebastian. Sebastian the Lobster is French, right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, that's so, nice save.
My connection. Thanks, Little Mermaid. Marcus Louis got this little Phantom of the Opera gimmick going on in NXT, and nung episode last week, it was actually pointed out by the announcers, and there was a little bit of a zoom dun sa
super zoom.
Yeah, that part.
Actually, because you know, on those kind of things, they're always creepy, fake or not.
Yeah, no, you're right. I definitely agree. It's very creepy. So sino kaya yun? And then when you guys pointed out sa Facebook na it's Marcus Louis, I was like,
It has to be.
Because who else would it be?
Who else would it be?
I forgot where I heard it.
Did they update it though this week? Like, were there any updates about that segment?
No.
So voila. No, you know,
NXT. The storyline advances the week after.
Yeah. So every other week.
It's every other week. Yeah.
Right. So there. I think it's a good thing. Like, I think it's refreshing to have this little Phantom of the Opera thing going on. It's not every year that you see a gimmick like this happen.
I rewound the match, the end of the Tyler Breeze match.
And you can see it.
Yeah. Oh, it's there. They didn't just
it's just really, really, really fucking creepy.
Yeah.
Shit. And, well, bagay, because he does look like a creeper.
You're saying he's ugly.
Yes.
He's
I'm
an
stopping
uggo.
Short of saying that he's an uggo. He's a legit uggo. But how do you root for, fine, sympathetic face? I just answered my own question. Parang he's got this... Eric Rowan vibe thing going on.
French genius.
Is the Phantom of the Opera a face?
I think so. Yeah, he is.
He has a face.
Burned or something.
It's disfigured.
But he's a face in theory.
He's a how do you say this?
De pare, tragic figure.
Tragic figure. Yeah.
Literary tropes, motherfucker.
Tropes.
Tropes.
Fine.
You're making it big word of the day.
He cut himself down after the tragic figure.
Jeez. Anyway, next item on the list. Daniel Bryan, back in action. Always a good thing. Always a good thing. We're excited for next week's SmackDown. And I think that's the best part of it, of the Daniel Bryan segment from Raw. Now we're actually excited for SmackDown.
And he actually, okay. Daniel Bryan got into an actual fight.
No, the best part of that segment was that he actually showed us that he can... do whatever it was he was doing before.
Well, not to the full extent. We haven't seen his full move set yet. We've seen the flying knee. We've seen him take a few bumps. But the thing is, will he be at 100%?
I was hoping that he would have changed style. But I guess not after what we just saw.
I mean, if it works, it works, diba?
Yeah, but it's dangerous. It's risky.
It's still dangerous.
It's what gave him all of his problems.
Yeah, after so many years of being on the independent circuit and pulling off shit like...
He worked slow in the indies.
Yeah, but the thing is, ever since then, he was already pulling off... Not the man high-flying
style. Yeah, I know, but he was doing strong style.
He was doing strong style, and it was very, very stiff.
Oh, I know. But, yeah.
But that's the thing. He has wear and tear that not a lot of younger guys have.
Would you consider Bryan younger, though? I mean, he's 33, 34.
He's 33, but the thing is, he's being put in a category alongside younger guys just because he hasn't been in WWE that long.
Yeah, I guess. I guess you can say that. But, like, age-wise, because he's only, what, 3-4 years younger than Cena when you think about it. And he's been wrestling full-time since 2000.
Yeah. That's not a child, a teenager, I guess.
Mga 20, yeah, at the age of 20, yeah.
And the thing is, he's been doing really, really, you know... How do you say this? Not even rough matches. Just stiff wrestling ever since.
And that's his style. And mahirap eh, diba? Sinasabi nga nila, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And that was something Rowan and I brought up even before, like when Bryan first got injured. So it's a challenge, I guess, for Bryan.
No, but I know he can work slow. That's the thing. The thing lang with working slow is that
it's not this entertaining.
No. Not even. The best submission wrestlers can make, technical wrestling look as graceful as a lucha libre match.
Like Regal.
Yep. And no, the thing with slow wrestling, with slow technical grappling, is that when you have a guy Brian's size, it might not be as believable when you do it against, you know, a guy like Triple H's size, Batista's size, the bigger guys. But it's worth a shot if it means prolonging his life.
And his career.
Yeah.
But more importantly, his life. Of course, we're excited to see Daniel Bryan come back. His first official match is this week on SmackDown against Kane, and he will be making his second Royal Rumble appearance. Tama ba? Second.
Oh, I know. Second palang.
Second palang,
right.
Man.
Crazy, actually. Yeah, so second Royal Rumble appearance for Daniel Bryan for this year's Royal Rumble. And now our last item on the list. We've been saving this for last, and I think it did deserve to come on last.
The induction
of the one and only Macho Man Randy Savage.
Ooh, yeah.
That felt good.
Get me a Slim Jim.
Yeah.
We cannot do it as good as he does.
Of course not.
Hey.
Of course not.
And I mean, they tried on Raw, but goddamn.
Oh, only, you know, Miz was really good. Surprisingly
was
good.
Actually.
And Roman Reigns. The
entertaining segment in general. Like having all those wrestlers impersonate Macho Man, do their versions of, ooh, yeah. And it was just really fun. And
You know, Miz was, you know, surprisingly good for, you know, being that kind of guy.
A-list actor kasi.
Oh. Yeah. He's pulling it off, man.
Na-ano rin.
But back to the topic at hand.
It's been a long time coming for Macho Man to be inducted, and it's good to see that Lanny finally allowed it to happen.
Mm. Yeah.
The long-standing issue kasi was that his brother wouldn't allow it to happen, and as the executor of his will and estate,
yeah.
He held the card, and then he finally said, okay, it's about time. And thank God, because Randy Macho Man Savage, alongside with Miss Elizabeth, they are the two glaring omissions in the Hall of Fame.
Owen Hart
was good, but Owen Hart wasn't Macho Man.
Yeah, I know, but he's still a glaring omission.
He's a glaring omission, but then, is it bigger than Macho Man?
Oh, I know, go ahead. I'm just saying that he was...
Okay, no, yeah. Someday, Owen Hart should be there. But Macho Man, goddamn, 3 years since his death.
Magfa-4 na actually. Because he died May 2011. So, magfa-4 years. By the time that the Hall of Fame ceremony happens, yeah, malapit na yung 4th death anniversary ni Macho Man. And I'm guessing that a lot of wrestling fans, especially those who grew up in the 80s and early 90s, maybe even until yung WCW Randy Savage, are finally happy that, you know, Savage is getting his proper recognition. So, having Macho Man inducted into the Hall of Fame finally after a very, very long time is our last item on the list.
One question, though.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
After Macho Man and Owen Hart.
Okay.
Who goes in next?
Ah, man.
Who needs to go in next?
I guess Rocky, yeah.
Does The Rock need to go in now, ba?
No.
No.
But if you want to say go in
but
next.
Who is the most deserving? Okay, Rock is one.
So Austin, pasok
lang Austin's
in.
Austin is in. Rock should be in.
Yeah, Rocky should be in. And I don't get it, though. I don't get why Rocky isn't in yet. Is it because they consider him a part-time
competitor? Yeah, that's pretty much it. I think it's because he's not done yet. Okay, speaking of, after the two, if this is Undertaker's last year, then he should be in. After
yes,
Miss Elizabeth, after Owen Hart, Taker should be in. Rocky.
Yeah, actually. I think those four.
You know that money, you know that's why Edge was inducted after his retirement.
How about Nash?
As part of the NWO,
I want NWO to go in as a whole,
as a unit.
Haven't they already?
No,
they haven't.
Razor Ramon.
Razor Ramon palang and Hogan.
And Hogan's in as Hogan.
As Hogan, yeah. But see, Kevin Nash, I think as Diesel, does he deserve it? But as Diesel,
yes, he does.
I think he does, you know.
But it's not an immediate need.
I think he can go in this year, like the same way Razor Ramon did, not as a headliner, but you know, as part of a stacked class.
Yeah.
No, that I don't see why not.
Oh, puede.
Okay, wait. Fantasy booking wise for Hall of Fame next, if this is gonna be Taker's last year,
sure.
Next year, Taker goes in solo.
No. You know who I want in that class? No. Christian. I want Christian in that class.
No, I want Taker to have
Christian, you know, is not going in that class.
I want Taker to be in that class, parang class of his
there
own.
There is no such thing as a class of
Meron,
his own.
Andre the Giant, the very first.
But that
member.
Was like the very first.
That's the point. They wanted to establish that Andre was on a class of his own.
Was it?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
That he was this parang soul inductee, and then.
No, I don't think. No, you have to sell a whole show on a whole hour. To the TV, to whatever, to the network.
Ngayon, in 2015.
Yeah, you can't
time,
do that with just Taker.
Can you? I think you can.
I don't think you can.
I don't think you can.
It's not going to happen. Which is why you need supporting members of that class, like Christian.
Christian deserves it, yes, but...
I don't think he goes
doesn't
in
have to, doesn't
soon.
Doesn't have to be soon. Doesn't have to be this soon. He still has work to do. He has 2 years left on his contract.
Eh. It's not a matter of your contract expiry. I mean, that's not the determinant of whether you're in.
Is Booker, I know that. Is Booker already in?
Booker's in.
Booker's in, yeah.
Exactly. Booker's in, though.
Yeah, but Booker entered like a year right after he retired. So, like, I think if Booker can have that, why not Christian?
Yeah. I say okay, yeah.
Next year, fine.
Next
yeah,
year.
Yeah, not this
soon.
Year. Not this year.
Doesn't have to be this year.
I'll magwawala ako if Christian is in the Hall of Fame this year. And I'm a Christian mark. So yeah, so maybe
I think
next
Regal
year.
Should go in.
Regal deserves it.
Yo.
But the thing is, Regal's still doing active work. Eh? Like a
yeah,
lot
but
of active
so
work.
He's not a wrestler anymore.
So was Booker. Booker was doing commentary.
And Jerry Lawler still wrestles on fucking Memphis. In fucking Memphis.
And Jerry Lawler still wrestles, period. Well, not so much anymore.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. There are no clear-cut rules, which makes...
The Hall of Fame dubious? No,
I know. I think if you're not regularly, actively wrestling, you can be in.
Okay.
So you name... Yeah. You name
I think that's, a, yeah, that's yeah, the best rule.
You name batayan mo. All right. So I guess that formally ends this week's recap of the week in wrestling. This list has been...
Spots and Botches!
More of the SGP Podcast, episode 41. We tell you, it's been a very special episode so far, and now we have our special guest inside the booth with us. So excited to talk to this guy. He was at PWR Terminus, and we're hoping to see more of him in future shows. He was also in the movie English Only Please, one of the key guys as well behind NU107, and he's also part of the band Blast Ople. Please welcome.
And us to Evil Zero, by the way.
Thank you very much, Mr. Camus. Please welcome to the Smart Gila Speed Filipinas podcast, Mr. Quark Canaris.
Yeah.
Yay.
welcome to the SGP podcast.
Weird now when it's like four people.
Oh yeah.
And
for sure.
And like we have to cheer ourselves. Yeah.
No, this is shit that you add in as a post prod.
Hey.
Thank God for post prod.
We have shitty downloaded effects.
Oh. And you can curse. That's
oh yes, you can.
Yes,
you
can.
That's the
yes,
best part.
Fucking great.
Yeah.
thank you for supporting my movie, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, let's talk quickly about English Only, please. Because I found out from Tracy, Tracy Abad of The Wake Up Show, by the way, on Mellow 94.7. Sounds good.
Mellow 94.7. Dude, that thing drives me crazy. I don't know if you...
Dude, I hear it every day.
At least you don't really play the like auto-tune one anymore. It's like... Oh,
meron pa rin sa gabi.
Yeah, do you play Fruity Pops at night?
Oh
Fruity
yeah.
Pops.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, Fruity Pops. Kitang kitang saya.
Fruity Pops.
Those commercials just drive me nuts, man.
And it's always Chris who does the VO.
Yeah, your AOB right afterward.
After. So bad.
Yeah, that's his job.
And I was listening. I don't know if we can reveal this, but I was listening to Jam 88.3 the other day.
Yes, you can.
Sure.
And there was an ad, and it was Chris.
The Globe ad.
And it was like messed fucked in my head. I was like, what station am I listening to? What is this?
No, I felt the same way because when I listened to Magic Dinaman, and then I hear the same
Wait,
ad.
You listen to Magic?
Yeah, dude, come on.
Lamna!
No, man.
Lamna!
No, man, I'm like the greatest wrestlers. I'm a student of the game. You know, since I've been there, guys like Shawn Michaels, guys like Ric Flair, they're students of the game. I'm the same way.
Brought to you by Colombia.
Maligayong pagdating Pope Francis mula sa Colombia.
Oh, shit. Oh, my
I'm
God.
So glad I'm done with that ad. Anyway, so English only, please. You know, sinabi ni Tracy, but you were in the movie, so I was really keeping an eye out for that scene where you would come out. Mm-hmm. So in the movie, Quark plays Choco. So can you tell me about your character? Tell us about your character.
It's not a big role, right?
Actually, yeah, the role on paper was Tinder date number 2.
Right.
Then I basically was just supposed to be like, hey, I'm your Tinder date, and I'm just walking with her.
Okay.
And then I found out she has a kid, and mm-hmm. I got like right, the right. surprised face, but. And then I overheard that her name was Malos. So
okay.
that was all improv. Like, are you Malos? I'm Choco. And, you know, I just started, like, really stroking her, which wasn't in the script. And
yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, like heavy petting.
Parang medyo awkward for the first date.
I know, right? Like, she was, like, very, like, what the fuck is this guy gonna do? And then that was also improv, where I find out she has a kid and then I step back and go back on Tinder. So.
I think for what it's worth, that was the one image I really recall of,
yeah,
of the Choco character.
And it worked, though.
Yeah,
it worked.
Really
it's
worked.
Weird, man. It's like, yeah, I go to the bank. I'm like, sir, no pan kita. The weirdest is like black market. Hey, Choco!
Why do the black market kids? That's a weird.
But it's a
and
fun
remember
movie.
The name. Yeah.
It's a fun movie.
Yeah, it's actually a decent MMFF movie.
Yes,
yeah, yeah, it
great.
Is. Yeah.
And trivia, the writer was actually is actually a big wrestling fan, and she was actually in the event.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
you must tell us who this
she,
is.
And she, her name is Anche Pesumal.
Oh, okay.
So she's
all right, we got to talk to her very soon. All right, so of course... you mentioned PWR Terminus, and let me just tell this story on the air. Because a bunch of us were backstage right before curtains opened, right before the event actually began. Ro over here, he's actually one of the wrestlers in training under PWR.
Okay.
So his role in the show was the voice. He was
the
sound man.
Okay, yeah.
So he was the one playing the entrance music. See, Raf over here
was the announcer.
Yeah. And I was backstage preparing for my entrance as the GM.
The manager, yes.
Right. So we were all there in gorilla position. Or yung right before you come out. And then somebody just tells us, nah, Quark Canadas is coming. And those four words send the locker room into a bit of a buzz. So we're all excited.
Guys, it doesn't sound great, but Quark Canadas is coming.
Quark Canadas is coming.
You know, like now we can talk about this since we're in a podcast. Right?
Yeah,
it's like,
yes.
Like, but you know, in like when
when you're
like
on air, you
in eh. in porn, it's like fucking bitch. So you know, it's like
oh my god.
Actually, now that you bring it up, medyo awkward.
We're bringing this show to new depths. Yeah. No, that's what happens.
If you guys thought last week was bad, this week is worse.
Then you had a character RNA, before the jizz in my pants called Easy Come Dan, who's like an ex porn star, but everything now that you know, like. Like, hey, dude, what's up? Ah, oh, fucking bitch.
Let me tell you, we actually have a 9-year-old listener to the podcast.
Oh, hello. Well,
regular 9-year-old.
No, we don't know. We don't know if he's still listening. So
we're giving him a hard education right now.
Hard education.
Hard to soft education.
Courtesy of Mr. Quark Canadas.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And then they said I was coming.
Yeah, so sabi na, darating si Quark. Darating si Quark. So we're like, oh, putang na. You know, Quark Canadas is coming. So I text Tracy. And I'm like, oi, Tracy. By any chance, are you coming to Makati? Or are you going to make your way to this wrestling event?
Yeah. Coming.
Are you coming too?
Are you coming
in my pants?
I kind of don't want to ask that question. I don't want to know.
Honey, I'm so sorry, honey. Just listening. My girlfriend. Don't pick on her. Okay, anyway.
She was supposed to be here.
Yeah.
So,
thank God she's not.
She was supposed to come
here
tonight.
Yeah, here, in her pants. But...
So she said she was, and then lo and behold, I do my thing as a general manager. You guys make your way inside the arena, and it was just really surprising to see you guys because I never thought that Tracy would actually show up to a wrestling show
or to one of your events
or to one of my events. So syempre nagulat ako, and then you know you came over and you guys said hi and everything. So that was always that was a treat for me, personally.
Yay.
So I want to know what brought you to Terminus.
So Mick, one of my best friends, also you know like one of the guys I work with the most. I don't know, we just really love number one, there's not many cool things to do in Manila, right? Yes. Like, okay, you know, what are we going to do tonight? Oh, let's go to Valk, man. I mean, like, really, Bucha, there's nothing. Bucha. It's Bucha. like stand-up is rare. And so you really, it'll be nice to, like, seek out, like, really cool things. And when we heard about this, I was like, I remember King and Mick were telling me, hey, let's go to this wrestling. And they're like, so what's it like? Is it like, you know, like, professional, like the wrestling, you know, in the spandex?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, no, it's like speeches and shit. Yeah. Like clotheslines and body slams.
Yes!
And yeah, it's like, holy shit, I'm there. And of course, I had to drag Tracy. He's always, like, very shocked by, you know, like,
your lifestyle.
Yeah, no, she's like, the things you show me. I remember I showed her, like, if you do watch Black Mirror, the show on BBC.
No, I haven't heard of it, actually.
The first episode is about, like, a duchess gets kidnapped, and the kidnappers just want the prime minister to, like, fuck a pig on national television. It's like, oh, babe, what's that?
I like how you copied her on point. Like,
so she always, okay, we'll go. And then, like, literally when we were probably going about to park in Makati Cinema Square, oh my God, Stan's part of this event. So it's great. And we had a lot of fun.
Yeah, what'd you think of the show? Because, like, I remember that Tracy in particular was very shocked during that one spot where Brian Leo, the bald guy, classical Brian Leo, pretended to be injured. And then the EMTs were actually already inside the ring. And then she was texting me from across the arena asking, is this real? Is this legit?
No, because both of us, we didn't even know that it was real.
We weren't in on it.
And then we're just like, shit. What's happening? And then biglan lang, oh, there you go.
Yeah, were you the one who was like, a stretcher? A fucking stretcher? Were you
that was me, right?
I'm like, oh my God, this thing is for real, man. Like,
are you panicking for real?
No, I panicked for real. Because, like, because
I didn't see.
Because Matt Rojas, the referee, he was already handling the situation. I'm just like, shit. If this is real, the EMTs are right beside me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, guys, stretcher. This is not a joke. I would know.
Yeah,
unfortunately, I have the script.
Unfortunately for Kendra, it wasn't real.
Oh well.
So, what did you think of the show? or what did you think of that spot?
I loved. There were some that I super loved. I loved the first one. The first
match.
Who was the first match?
Kenwa.
The first match was Ken Warren versus Chris Banzer.
I posted that on Instagram and what's the name of that dude who's like Hashendero or something.
Jake DeLeon.
Oh, dude.
The only guy with the shirts.
Yeah, no, I mean, he was so into it. He was like giving high fives to everyone and like, oh my God, this guy, just to see that love for the game, you know? Like, he was like, and he's like thanking everyone. I'm
right.
Like, yeah, I can get behind this.
So any favorite wrestler so far?
So the bald dude is Chris Leo, right?
Brian Leo.
And then he had the... Yeah, that lady friend, right?
Scarlett, yeah.
She's our lady friend too.
Yeah, I went to the bathroom and then I saw her with her boyfriend outside, like just stirring. I was like, grabe, ibang klase talaga to. Her boyfriend started snickering because the mom of someone who...
Chris Banzer's mom.
Mommy P.
Yeah, Chris Banzer's mom attacked her. Right?
Yeah.
And like, yeah, no, and
not the script, not scripted not at scripted. All.
Yeah, I was like, it got awkward for a while. And you could see her, she was like, you know, like being all tough and then, but you could see her eyes, like the fear. I live for those moments, like, yeah, the stretcher moment, the mom getting angry moment, who were the guys who went to the second floor?
That was Canto Terror.
Apocalypse and Mayhem Branigan.
Hardcore match.
And then like, will you be my part tag team partner?
See, Mark Di Manalo, the guy from the audience.
Yeah.
So yeah, he was really over it.
And I think Mick went to the first. He said this was so much, you know, more planned out. And the acting was better. So.
Wow. Coming from a legitimate director like you.
There you
something.
Go, guys. There you go.
PWR.
Alam na.
You sons of box.
You know you've gotten over when Corey Canales is repeating your catchphrase. Yeah.
Brian Leo, pat yourself on the back. JDL, pat yourself on the back.
Corey, tell us about your fandom. Like, growing up, I'm sure you don't get to this point where you seek out a wrestling show as an adult without having watched it as a kid.
Yes, yes. So,
tell me about your wrestling fan.
No, I was okay. The truth is, I was a big wrestling fan, and then I cut Crystal's hair because Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Oh god, was my
like idol.
Wow!
And they banned me from watching wrestling for the rest of my life.
Wow!
So my knowledge of kind of like Rowdy Roddy Piper and you know. And British Bulldogs.
So you pulled that like on your sister.
Yeah, yeah.
Good God!
Yeah, so.
No, that's a story right there.
Okay, because like
and she still brings it up to this day. Yeah, oh yeah, I cut my hair. Yeah. So you know, Miss Cover of Tatler magazine. Like every time we see her from now on, you'll like think that I cut her hair because.
Right, no, because like I've seen your sister on TV. Like, yeah. On It Takes Guts to Be a Good Therapist, right? And then you bring up this story, and I'm like, wow, it's just an interesting take.
Yeah, yeah. The you know the effect of media. It is true. It is true, Jenna. But yeah, so I mean. Pretty much Andre the Giant and the Ultimate Warrior and Macho Man Randy Savage,
who will be entering the Hall of Fame this year.
Oh really?
Yes, he will.
Oh, after what's the name of his wife that got
Miss Elizabeth.
Like
Miss Elizabeth?
Miss Elizabeth,
yeah,
who
she got fucked up for a while.
Yeah, like her neck had broken in a fight.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
is that true or is it?
Totoyan.
Shit, seriously.
Totoyan. And then eventually she did hard drugs and killed herself with drugs.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, not joking.
A mix of painkillers and vodka. That was in 2003.
Yeah, she died way before Randy Savage did last year.
But Randy Savage was really married to her.
Yes.
For a while. So they got divorced in the 90s.
Yeah.
Because they broke up?
Yeah, they broke up in real life.
Yeah. No, because, so when I'd follow it, I mean, Vince McMahon was a reporter, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck is this guy doing? Like, wrestling now? Like, I remember literally watching TV. It's like, is he a wrestler? What's going on? What is the corporation? Very lost.
He had a really weird face during the mid 90s, late 2000s, early 2000s. Na he tried to be a wrestler. Like he really tried that side of the business.
Wow, that's crazy.
But, yeah, and it's if you know him as the sportscaster, sports entertainment caster.
Wala. Was he always running the WWF at the time?
Yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah,
like. Oh, so he was just pretending to be...
Yes. He didn't want to draw too much attention to himself back then.
Oh, okay. And then, Hulk Hogan went to the WCW?
Yes.
Yeah, that happened.
Anyway, but do you remember the cartoon, right? Do you guys remember the cartoon?
We weren't old enough then.
The Iron Sheik, I'm showing my age, so...
Like,
the good guys were Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, the cartoon.
And Mr. T.
Captain Lou Albano.
That's right, the late Captain Lou Albano. So you mentioned that you cut Cristal's hair... Because of your you wanted to emulate Brutus the Barber Beefcake, but you never tried to like sneak in some wrestling
On her,
on her. not on her, but like sneak in some TV time.
No, it was kind of like that was it.
So you just agreed,
but you know, we'd wrestle with cousins and whatever, like body slam and.
I think boys go through that.
And wrestling was really big, at. That, and then wrestling, it kind of died, right? Like in the early 90s.
Tapered off.
Yeah, and then it got big again with like The Rock. And
Yes.
Yeah, so I totally missed one of my best friends, Ramon, who wrote Ang Nawawala, is a big, he's a big fan of those days as well.
The Attitude Era. Okay.
I like that guy's writing style.
Yeah.
I do like him.
The WCW and WWF when they,
So really interesting. I mean, it's nice to hear this kind of perspective naman, you know, from other people. And kasi
alam na natin kung sino kukunin natin na guest.
Actually, that's true. One of the main objectives why we do the podcast is we want to bring the Pinoy wrestling community together.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not easy to find someone else who likes wrestling in this country.
Yeah, remember there was even wrestling in Channel 13, like
yes.
The Unano and then
Yes, that did happen.
That was RJ. RJ was the one running.
What was
that.
It called?
Pinoy Wrestling.
Pinoy Wrestling.
Just
okay.
Pinoy Wrestling.
So you had characters like Joe Pogi, Zorro, Iggy the Igorot.
And PWA's job now is to kind of, you know, reboot Philippine wrestling and kind of retcon that old Pinoy wrestling.
But that's great, though.
Yeah, it is.
And I even remember being a fan of GLOW. Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. Yeah.
I think a lot of people who grew up in the 80s and probably the early 90s, yeah, medyo familiar sila sa GLOW. Kasi Tracy's partner, Marco, also watched GLOW, like, for a time, right? And if you know Marco behind the scenes, this will be very, very surprising. But holy shit, he watched GLOW. So, you know, I think that's something that Quark and I understand, right?
Yes, yes.
So there. I want to talk about... aside from Terminus, of course, I want to talk about NU-107 because I mentioned this off the air. Kamus over here was a huge fan of NU growing up, one of his huge influences.
So
you want to take the lead, lead on this
one? No, no, no. Quark, just because I'm... No, just,
oh my God.
I'm having one of those moments.
Yeah, you're marking out, bro.
NU was like a big part of my life, and I know that you were very much involved, you know, in running with it. How do you feel that now you're dating somebody who's back in radio?
No,
it's a valid question.
Okay,
valid question.
I forgot which NU DJ, whether it was Claire or Myrene, but they said, of course, you ended up with someone from radio.
Yeah, that's why.
I mean, it's weird because I'm not in radio, but... And for some weird reason, like, I understand, you know, like, AOBs and whatever and all that technical stuff.
Right.
And so, and I know a lot of the radio people. NU was kind of like its own little island.
Yes.
But, you know, I mean, like, people like Samo and Andy Manzano, we did meet. And the people from Jam, especially, because...
Because
they were our fucking enemies. No, but...
oh, shit. Yeah,
I'm kidding.
I think some guys from Jam, NU,
Jam, which one is WWF, which one is WCW?
They were WCW. Sure.
Shots. No. But honestly, NU went through the struggle because N came up.
That's the thing. I'm always like a true fan.
I'm not an NU fan, but I've always figured that they were kind of like ECW.
Actually, that's true. Now, if you're gonna make the comparison between wrestling, NU did a lot of revolutionary things at the time with radio. And I'm sorry that
they're relatively smaller.
Yeah, relatively smaller. You could tell, naman, by the people who were advertising, it wasn't as bonga. They didn't have as much money, but the things that NU did for people like me, you know, they did a lot. I wouldn't have gotten into prod, like music prod, without people like Quark in the world. This interview's big for me.
There's not a day that goes by that I don't miss NU, and it's weird. It's been 5 years, I think.
Six.
Yeah, right. And in November, and it was, and I love that. And it's weird because I that last year, because I was hosting Let's Fun and all that stuff, not radio. But I think it's only that last year that I actually, and I was very hesitant to kind of, like, you know, be in my parents' shadows. That's why, you know, I want to be my own person. But that year I decided, okay, I'm going to work towards being a part of NU and kind of, like, eventually running NU. That's the year. So I was actually working already. I started working, doing marketing stuff for NU. We were already making new logos. I remember we were already brainstorming new shows, and it was like really. Then we had Jock Off. Where we looked for the new NU jocks, and like a week after we hired them, they made the announcement that, you know, that NU is going to be reformatted.
Damn.
So it was like,
shit.
God fucking damn, are you kidding me?
Yeah. So you weren't part of that decision, nah, no, NU was going to get reformatted.
I wasn't. Yeah, I was. It was very, very sad. And, you know, I felt really bad. And my dad actually said, like, 5 years later, I really regret, closing down NU. And like,
no, but the thing is, if NU doesn't...
Can't they bring him back, though?
No.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Like, a lot of people say, bring it back or bring it back online. And I'm like, no, it'll be like bringing Club Dread back. It's kind of like...
And they've tried.
Yeah, right?
okay.
Yeah, and it's not the same. And it's make something new, you know?
Like, I mean, a lot of the internet radio stations right now, like, for those of you who are listening to us over the internet, a lot of the local internet radio stations have some roots with the past guys from NU. Like, some jocks
Radio
there,
Republic, yeah.
Radio Republic... Like Zach, who is the man there. Like, they came from NU, and they're pretty solid people. Like, honestly, good people, and they know what they're doing. But back to you.
Like. Yeah, I actually have a question. I want to ask you about your influences, because I grew up every Sunday. My dad would listen to your Lolo, Larry Henares. So this is Larry Hinaris, Make My Day, Hasta La Bye Bye. So these are things that are stuck in my head. And I wouldn't say that Larry Hinaris' spiels really influenced the way I do mine as a personality. But I would guess that you being his grandson, meron bang influences from, let's say, from your grandfather?
Well, this is funny. My grandfather is the most inappropriate person I know in the world. Like, I remember when the Hide and Call sex scandal came out. Hayden comes to lunch.
Okay.
And my Lolo's there. He's like, Hayden! That Katrina Halili! What a whirling dervish! How does she do those moves? I've never... And he proceeds to get a pirated DVD of the sex scandal.
Good
and
God.
Have it signed by Hayden. And Hayden can't do anything because he's my grandfather. And I am just like relishing every moment of this. Like,
I bet he wanted to kill himself.
Yeah, you know, he's like.
So this is him off the air.
You know, exclusively like, on the SGP podcast.
You know, like, this we might have to bleep out. Like, that Obama, you know, every time he talks, such a great speaker. God damn it. Every time I hear him. That nigger brings me to tears.
Oh my God.
And it's like, it's meant well. It's, you know, it's like, it's a good, you know.
That is actually a thing. You know? They think that it's really called that way.
Yeah. It's yeah.
I'm just in shock right now.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Please don't stop listening to us.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about your bands. Us Two Evil Zero and Blast Off Left. Both of which, now come to think of it, are very inappropriate as well.
Yes.
Although, I've followed both bands for a long time. Blast Ople just had your one show of the year.
Yeah. Did you watch?
I wasn't there. I didn't know.
Okay.
Jason didn't tell me.
So,
I just want to ask. First, Blast Ople. Will we be seeing you guys recording? If or when Marie comes back for good?
We really want to. It's been a Blast Ople. Blast Ople is a band from AMP.
Yes.
From New York College. The way we formed was Jason was very, you know, unhappy with his band, and we were all like laughing and joking, and someone brought up that his cousin wanted to name a band Blast Ople. The next day we come into the AMP room and it's like Blast Ople is Jason Caballa on guitars, and we're all like Marie on drums, Mikey on bass, and we're like is this a joke? And 15 years later we're still playing, but we usually play mostly covers. We've had like two originals, but and it's very close to pro wrestling, actually. I mean, you've seen the
shows. I've seen it. It's yeah. No, you gotta tell me about it.
Stand on the AMP, I fall on the ground, Mikey kicks me.
my spots
Actually, I booked them for my birthday many years ago for AMP, for an AMP show.
Mm-mm.
You sexually assaulted me.
I gave Ren head the last time.
Ren Aguilar?
I have a picture.
But is this shit you choreograph? Like, do you plan this shit or premeditate it?
It's like you buy
them a bucket of Red Horse and then
I'm not even fucking drunk. That's the thing. That's like you know, this
wait, seriously, you gave Ren
wait, let me see. I think Tracy and my loving girlfriend. Thank you. Thank you so much, Tracy, for taking a picture of me giving Ren Aguilar a head.
Ren Aguilar off.
Wait. You must tell us of the story of how you sexually assaulted Kamis.
Yeah, so anyway, how did I sexually assault you?
I booked Blast Ople for a gig, and then I'm very drunk already by the time they're on, and I'm sitting down in Route 196. Mm-hmm. I'd say this is about 4 years ago.
Okay.
So I'm very drunk, and then Blast Ople is playing, they're doing their thing, I'm taking pictures, and then Quark starts to come close to me, and I'm like, okay, picture. This can't get any worse. He's very close. He's still singing. And then he starts caressing my leg that is propped up against a chair.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, okay, so this is cool. It's my birthday, but you're not a girl. And you're not hot. And this is fun, but...
It's not something you brag about.
Yeah, it's not something you brag about, but there are pictures on Multiply.
Buti na wala na Multiply.
Oh, God!
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's, holy shit. Those are the kinds of shenanigans.
Oh, Lord.
There's a lot of, yeah.
Lord.
A lot of
it's very NSFW.
Look how happy Ren is in this moment.
I bet, no,
this
because
moment.
I know Ren Aguila will not hear this, yeah. But I bet he enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So, like, how many...
I don't know. I'm just a man possessed. No, but
like, how many red horses, for example, will it take for you to get to that point where you just randomly sexually assault someone?
None, dude. I wasn't drunk.
It's part of the performance.
Yeah, no, like
if coming from the only as the only person who's seen them in the room among the three of us.
Sure.
It gets very wild. Like it's the closest thing you get to legit punk rock. Nowadays.
I remember I was jumping around, my pants fell, and I just started singing with my, you know, boxers.
Wow.
I don't know. It's like...
But what are your influences?
Influences in terms of music or film or...
I guess we can break it down.
Let's start with music.
Okay. Music, I... Well, my first two CDs ever were Stone... I know, Soul Asylum.
Uh-huh.
And Grave Dancers Union and Pearl Jam's Versus.
Okay.
But, no, I mean, after that, so I'm into a lot of the early alternative, like Lemonheads and Sonic Youth and stuff. And then I got into more indie stuff like Pixies and then Pavement, one of my favorite bands. Just reunited. They're called Slater-Kinney. Uh-huh. That's the girl from Portlandia. Yeah. Sorry, Carrie Brownstein. And then now I like St. Vincent a lot. I like, what else have I been listening to? I like Beck stuff. I make a list of the top 10 albums, and you can find them in quarkinaris.wordpress.com.
That's how you sneak in a cheap block.
Yeah. So yeah, how about
locally though?
Locally, there's this band called Feet Like Fins, which I adore. And you can see a lot of the influence on rock and roll if you buy the DVD out now. And obviously.
Another cheap plug.
It's a fact.
No, keep going.
No, but a big influence performance-wise is the Aga Mulak Experience. So
wow.
That was a band of... Basically, it was Sandwich, but instead of Raymond Marisigan, it was a guy named Mario Alipio who lives in Washington.
Okay.
So he was like, dude, like... And I would... And eventually, I became a member of the Aga Mulak Experience. But I remember he did a backflip and like he was bleeding on the floor, and
what?
We were like,
"Holy shit!"
We were like still kicking him because he thought it was like part of the act. And then after the set, Jack was like, "Get up, motherfucker!" And like he pulls him up and he goes back down, and we're like, what's going on?"
Knocked
so
out
we home. Bring him to the hospital, and now he's kind of like deaf in one ear.
Oh, shit.
Holy
that's
shit.
That's how punk rock it gets, really.
Yeah, shit escalated quickly.
Mad real.
Yeah, how about in film? Because we haven't really talked about the film career. Like, what influences you with your film career, Naman?
Film, definitely. Pulp Fiction is my favorite movie.
Okay,
okay.
So,
cool.
Yeah, hands down. And then David Lynch is my favorite director. Uh-huh. So, I mean, the most influential piece of art probably in my life, I remember, was Twin Peaks, the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I remember that whole lineup in Channel 9. It's like... or is it Channel 9 and Channel 2? And there's like Simpsons and X-Men and Beverly Hills. And
right,
and then
there's
Twin Peaks. And then it's like so weird watching that.
After
all of the wholesome stuff. But that really fucked me up.
But have you ever thought of like... Have you ever thought of like inserting probably some wrestling references, or has wrestling ever been incorporated into your films?
Has wrestling ever... I think... may have in Super Noipy, which is actually the film I hate the most, but I'm pretty sure there was
the soundtrack wasn't so bad.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no, I've only seen that movie once actually, like
same here. I watched it once and it's
so I have the exact same reaction to that film. But wrestling wise, yeah, probably in Super Noipy, I'm pretty sure there was one. Also, I think because the writer, like Fairlane Raimundo and Enzo was a writer also. Mm-hmm. I think they were like fans of cosplay and a lot of
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So, Camus here actually mentioned earlier, like before he came in, that he also taught at Ateneo.
Yes, yes.
Now, there's something interesting that he brought up, something about the implications of wrestling on society that you happen to share in several lectures. I'm actually
curious
about
it. I didn't say that. I was never a student. I just said that we could ask him that.
How do you feel? Because
you know, this guy's a very smart guy. Compared to everything that he said before this.
Yeah.
Mark Canaris is actually a very smart guy.
Very insightful.
Yes, as you can see on my inside. So. Easy come Dan and giving head to...
No, but it's like, do you think that as a medium, like, because wrestling is one of the mainstays on TV. Like, you have telenovelas for, you know, across Korea, Spain, here. And then wrestling is like a mainly American thing.
Yeah, and no matter how many people, you know, look down on it or think that we're weird for watching it, there's still, you know, wrestling programming on like ABS-CBN or whatever. Or Solar.
Fox now.
Yeah, exactly. So it's still a thing.
How do you feel about it in media now?
Yeah, no, I think it's it's great. It's like a man soap opera. You know what I mean? Like, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, yes. Like, that's right.
It's very larger than life. Yeah. You need your legends. You need your, like, affair. I mean, you don't get that in boxing. You don't get that in UFC where... You know, like
real.
They won't. Yeah, and there's like some drama, and someone's wife is cheating on. Wasn't there like something like that in WWE?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, someone's wife is cheating
all the time.
And
someone's had sex with a corpse.
God. That was 10 years ago, man.
Still fun to bring up.
Ten years ago,
Katie Vick.
Yeah, let's not bring that up.
And I remember, like, I mean. It's like Santa Claus for children, where you kind of like, no, this is real. How could there be not be blood and Axel Jim Duggan and like, you know, this. And then I remember when Owen Hart died, right?
Yes.
And then they were like giving speeches about, I remember when we were rehearsing this fight. And like, oh my God, it's all fake.
So that was your moment.
No, that was a moment for me in the sense that they finally admitted to it. And like,
but when did you find out it was staged?
Probably, you know, like in grade 7 or first year high school, everyone's like, oh, thank you. You know, like, and it's just a cool thing to just believe that Santa Claus is real when you're a kid also. And so
so who told you, who broke the mystery in you know, wrestling is staged?
I'm sure it's some classmates in 7th grade.
Okay, as usual.
No, right now, actually, of course, other than having talked about the music, the films, where can we see you next? Like, what other projects are you dabbling into in the foreseeable future?
Oh, okay. Well, so I took my MBA in the States, and then I was there for 3 years. So I only moved back around July. Yeah, and since then I've been producing concerts, so like churches and Cut Copy, Disclosure.
Bastille, diba?
No,
he's not Bastille.
But I hope people went to Bastille. I mean, like, those are really good kids. They're actually really young. They're younger than us. Yeah, but Wonderland, that's those guys. But
Carpo, shout out to you.
Yes. And, but, you know, now that I'm here again, I really want to make a new movie. There was a producer who went up to me and Mick and said, you know, I want to make the goriest Filipino film ever made. And I'm like,
wow,
is this like a dream or what? So Mick and I were both like trying to pretend we weren't excited beyond. It's like, oh, really? Oh, okay. I think we can do that. But inside we were like, oh, fucking bitch. But so Mick and I are writing, hopefully, the goriest Filipino film ever.
Sounds awesome.
Abangan.
And then on the flip side of that, I'm working with one of the writers of English Only Please on a romantic comedy. So hopefully in the same year we have the goriest Filipino film and a very heartwarming romantic comedy.
Are we going to see you do a cameo in either one of these films?
I got traumatized by cameoing in my own films because I don't know, like, when I started out, like, critics were like very mean to me having cameos in my own films.
But Tarantino does it all the time.
I know, right?
That's
But that's Tarantino, and so does Hitchcock. But that's Hitchcock. So, you know, I someone just asked me recently if I wanted to be a zombie. So I think I'm gonna be, I think I'm gonna be doing like those small roles for friends, but not on my own films.
Speaking of that, do you have any dream role or dream cameo role?
Dream cameo role. You know, number one. You know what the number one. Like anyone will ask you, right? Like if you're a director, anyone will ask you to cast them. Yeah. The number one rule: oh, kung kailangan mo ng rapist, ah. Which is like kind of funny, and then it gets disturbing after. Like,
yeah.
Wow, man! Like everybody wants to. And then I'll just say, oh, bibigyan kita ng love scene talaga. Oh, with Piolo. Like, not that I'm saying anything, but you know.
Piolo, if you're listening to the podcast,
yes, join and you know. Anyway, cut. Pause for cutting. And okay, and there. So,
but, yeah, I like that's a nice choice. Yeah, yeah. Rapist.
It isn't cool.
Yeah,
it's not. Cool. Yeah,
cool guys.
Never cool.
But yeah,
respect the women
and men.
Yeah,
and of course,
and anything in between.
That's right.
And of course, for our listeners who want to follow Quark Hanatus on social media, where can they follow you?
Yes, everything. no, it's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. It's all / Quark Hanatus. So, yeah. What else? WordPress. Yeah, I'm a social media whore. So.
Oh, by the way, the next PWR show, Vendetta, is on the on February 21st. Will we be seeing you there?
Yes, and my friend who I just had dinner with really wants to go.
Wonderful.
And we will keep that friend a secret.
Secret. For now.
For now.
It's gonna be yeah. Very wonderful, to say the least.
So it's on 21st. Oh, it's in the same place?
Yeah, it's in the same place.
Same
we're
time,
actually
same
working
place.
To call that the PWR Arena now.
Yeah. Nice.
We're going to put our stamp on that.
Eat some Midas chicken, buy some pirated DVDs, and go to the PWR Arena.
Buy some fake shoes.
Why not? What a sweet deal. I guess that about wraps it for our interview with Quark Hanatus. You know, Quark, it was a lot of fun. You know, just
so
shooting the shit.
Fun.
Yes, shooting the shit.
We hope
being
to have
very
you...
inappropriate.
Yeah,
inappropriate.
Back course, again.
Yeah. Now, we'd love to have you back again on the podcast soon.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, I would love to.
Yay.
Yeah. All right. And we're going to be doing more of our segments here on the SGP podcast. Breaking Kayfabe News, actually, is coming up next. And we'll hit you up with more of the stuff on episode 41, the Dirk Nowitzki of the Smart Gilas Pilipinas podcast.
Stay tuned! Tonight, we are bringing back a special segment on the SGP podcast. This is Breaking Kayfabe News. Stanley C. Pasok!
Excuse me, but carrying on a long tradition of charitable work by WWE wrestlers, Bray Wyatt has devoted much of his spare time to terrifying sick kids for the Break-A-Wish Foundation. The charity, which believes that unadulterated fear may trigger children's immune systems to fight disease, has lauded the hillbilly Messiah as their greatest celebrity partner. Break-A-Wish Foundation President Kendrick Harkin said, and I quote, "He's absolutely terrifying. It's wonderful. When I see the looks of abject terror on those kids' faces, it warms my heart." In a typical scenario, Bray Wyatt upside down crab walks to a terminally ill child and whispers, "We're here," and laughs maniacally. According to a recent study, the sheer terror of being confronted by the inbred cult leader has been shown to send many forms of terminal illness into remission. The Break-A-Wish Foundation calls it the scared healthy phenomenon. Interestingly, some children specifically request a visit from Bray Wyatt instead of John Cena. Back to you, Mr. Kamas.
Marami salamat po! And that is Breaking Kayfabe News.
All right, and I guess that's going to do it for this week's episode of the SGP podcast. But before we go, of course, we got to give a great thank you to Mr. Quark Hanatus, our guest for this week. That was one hell of an interview, man.
Yo, we are the kings of starting out strong style.
Yo, we say that every interview. That was one hell of an interview, but I think the last two interviews we've had.
Yeah, exactly. We're starting off 2015 really, really strong.
Setting a high bar for ourselves. We've had Red Oliero. If you haven't listened to last week's podcast, by the way, you
please
better give
do.
It a listen.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a whole lot of fun just talking to somebody who's been pretty updated and can inject, you know, the kind of humor that the three of us are pretty much into. So that's the Red Oliero episode. Of course, this episode with Quark Hanatus is probably one of our most enjoyable
ones.
Much
of the same
humor.
I
did not expect that kind of humor to come out of this interview.
There yeah, neither did I.
Booker T will be coming for us.
It was ang saya lang just hearing stories about his grandfather Larry Henares and his sister Cristal. You know, the Brutus, the beef, the barber beefcake stories. Crazy.
I cannot believe.
I can't imagine.
But I'm actually gonna dig up that Tatler interview. Fact check.
And before we go, of course, we got to thank you and ask you to subscribe to the SGP podcast. That's where you can get all the episodes, listen to all our segments from Spots and Botches to Breaking Kayfabe News to Bose Avenue, which we haven't done in a while, but we'll be getting to that again very, very soon. Word of the Week.
Hey.
I know you've been excited to sing again.
Yeah.
And of course, the segment that always ends every episode of the SGP podcast. It's called the Pick of the Week. Now, the Pick of the Week, for those of you who are new to the podcast, is anything in wrestling that is must see, must watch, must listen, or must read. So let me. I'm going to start off this week. So pick of the week. All right, my pick of the week is the contract signing from last week's Raw. I enjoyed it very much just
this
because
Monday's Raw.
From this Monday's Raw. Sorry, I enjoyed it for one reason and one reason alone: the fact that Seth Rollins could hang toe to toe with guys like Brock Lesnar, Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, John Cena, and Paul Heyman inside the ring. He was able to establish his own presence, and I think that really seals the deal on his status right now as top heel in the game.
On a related note, my pick of the week was the Shield mini reunion on SmackDown.
Not a bad pick.
Because if this is the seed that is planted for that future WrestleMania main event with the three of them in it, good God, we are in for a hell of a ride.
Fair enough.
Okay, my pick of the week is actually kind of out of left field. I'm going to choose the New Day versus K-Swiss.
Whoa!
It's not that out of left field considering the quality of the
match. Oh, yeah, exactly. It's not, you know, it's not a big match. It's not a big storyline. It's just good wrestling.
Good, pure wrestling.
And the reason I picked this is because I haven't seen this week's NXT and Lucha Underground.
Actually, yeah. I mean, I haven't seen NXT and Lucha Underground either. So I think next week's episode is going to be stacked. I'm hoping that we have lots of options for pick of the week next
you
week.
You do. I've seen NXT on its new nights on Wednesdays.
Yun. Wow. It's SmackDown on Thursdays.
SmackDown on Thursdays.
SmackDown tomorrow, back on Thursdays. Tomorrow our time.
So that means, in the download, papi. Oh.
So that means actually we can watch NXT and Lucha Underground before the show, and then now SmackDown is on Friday night here.
It doesn't really change much.
It doesn't change much.
Lang, papi, aren't you starting your day job next week?
Yeah, after the Pope leaves.
So good luck trying to watch Lucha Underground and NXT on the same day.
Papi, kaya mo yan.
All right.
Right,
all para
right.
Sa show, kagawin ko.
Para sa bayan.
What was I going to say? Wait, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. You know, I just want to note that it's been almost 10 years since SmackDown was last on Thursday nights. I mean, like, regularly.
At the Drowning Pool era pa ba yung theme nila?
I don't even know. I'm not even sure anymore. No. I think it was after that. Before that.
So yung ano pa yung rap pa yung parang si John Cena nag-rap.
Pocha.
Oh, wait. I think it might have been, yeah.
I think it's Drowning Pool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right,
that was Drowning Pool.
Because right after Drowning Pool was Know Your Enemy.
Oh, God. Oh, speaking of show theme songs, today I learned that Welcome Home by Coheed and Cambria was the NXT theme song for a while. I wasn't watching at the time.
When FCW was rebranded, yeah.
You fucking awesome song, though.
Since we're talking about theme songs, let me just put this out there. This is an inquiry to Puro Wrestling fans, right? If any Japanese wrestler has ever come out to Feel Like Dance by Globe, let me know.
God.
Just let me know. I love that song to death. I played it on the radio today. It's a great song. Let me know if any wrestler has come out to that song. I will fucking mark out for that wrestler. That's all. It's an open plea.
Yeah. Shinsuke Nakamura's song is so much better than that, though.
Yeah, fine. But, you know, Feel Like Dance is still fucking awesome. It's fucking boss, right? Anyway, we got to thank you and make one last plea. Let your friends know about the podcast. Let them know that people do talk about Pinoy Wrestling, and we're trying to get the community together. It's at the SGP Podcast on Twitter, so if you want to follow us for all the updates, and if you want to like our page, it's facebook.com/TheSGPPodcast.
I would just like to say that everything he said was so fucking corny.
Of course, we got to thank Corey Canales once again for coming on over, dropping by, and and just talking to us about wrestling and about everything else. You can catch, by the way, the next PWR show, because we are, of course, supporting local wrestling. The next PWR show is happening February 21, 2015.
Vendetta!
It's Vendetta. at the PWR Arena, also known as the Makati Cinema Square Arena. So get your tickets at 250 pesos at the gate.
Maraming pasabog yan.
A lot of things are going to happen, and I'll be watching. So that's also happening.
First, you always
watching.
You like to fucking perv.
I like to watch. So last but definitely not the least, if there's anything you agree with, disagree with, anything you want to tell us, you can always tweet us. I'm at Stan947 on Twitter.
At Caveman Camus.
At Rose War.
And with that, we close the Dirk Nowitzki episode of the SGP Podcast. We'll catch you next week. Royal Rumble predictions and another huge guest on the SGP Podcast. Peace out.
Peace.